straight up at 11 o'clock in New York City. Mark Farrell, the show's Insights. How are you feeling today? I still can't believe half of December is slipping by. I am in total, total denial, disbelief. I can't believe the summer ended. I'm a little behind times. Wow. I'm finally kind of getting into the reality that Christmas is coming, and I have to get on the bandwagon. The holidays are here. And, so my kids, I was driving around the other day, and they're like, you know, the majority of the town or the state of New Jersey is lighted, and our house is not. Give me time. Your dad's busy. I'm getting on it. I'm working on it. I'm designing something nice, kids. Got a great show headed our way. We got a gentleman named Scott Fried. He's from an incredible organization called the Mankind Project. It's a men community for the 21st century. There's a great article that caught my eye in the New York Times on Tuesday. And it's a stellar piece and an organization that really kind of reverberates a lot of what I do and believe in. And I think a lot of the men, certainly, and ladies, you're not deleted from this conversation, will echo in the sentiments, because certainly we all get lost. We need affirmation. We like to be heard, validated, all the above. And when you get together with a group, because men are less likely to go see a therapist. And unfortunately, men are 3.5 more times, I'll repeat that, 3.5 more times likely to die by suicide, which is a real tragedy. So any way they can vent and seek emotions and support and comfort is a great outlet. So we're going to speak to Scott and learn about this incredible organization that's been around for decades. I had no idea. It was a really eye-opening experience, and it's something that I think you're going to be intrigued about, because not only is it just a weekly meeting place all across the country, all across the world, but they have retreats and trainings and programs that are really eye-opening. So I've piqued your interest, haven't I? Yeah, all right. Good. So I was thinking about this morning. My wife's like, you know, have you tipped Urkel? Urkel, I call it my mailman Urkel because he is a grown man, but he looks like Urkel. Remember Urkel? Yeah, you remember Urkel. He was on that show 20,000 years ago. And so I started thinking about all the people I have to tip, and I started making a list this morning, and I'm up to about almost $400. You think about this. You think about your garbage man, your mailman. Now, if you go to a gym, do you have a trainer, or do you actually, I teach spin in the morning, so I'm fortunate enough to actually have people tip me. I don't do it for that. I do it for because I love to stay fit and motivate people, and it's just a great caveat, or I should say an offshoot as being a speaker, and it's just fun. But, you know, you have the gym, tip, I should say, the instructors at your gym possibly. Who else? If you have kids that still take school buses, you got to tip the drivers. You know, it's funny, when I go to Panera once in a while, if there's a Panera by you, it's kind of one of the more healthy options for fast food, sandwiches, soups, etc. If you're in the Midwest or West Coast, I'm not sure if it's out there in a foreign country. no, it's not. Anyway, and when you pay for your food, they say, would you like to tip? And I'm like, no, I should say, I feel like saying, it should say, would you like to tip me? Because after your meal, you have to clean off your plate and bring it to the location where the bus area is. And you have to put your plates in the designated area in the silverware. So I feel like, no, I'm not going to pay you or tip you. You should be tipping us. So it's interesting how, you know, this time of year, we should take stock and take care, compensate the people who are important in our lives that obviously are not family and friends, people who offer a service. If you live in New York City or any major city, the doorman, those people are vital. And I was thinking about all these different people, you know, your local DJ or talk show host. You know, you have to take care of these people. Wink, wink. But it's true. And when you put it all in perspective, it's like, oh, wow, you got to certainly allocate a couple hundred dollars. You got to go to the bank and get cash. What the hell is cash? I don't know what cash is. What is that? That's a foreign currency? Oh, yeah. I remember what cash is. So, Cohen, 3 years behind bars. Wow. Saw it coming. Wasn't sure of the sentencing because of everything that was going back and forth, saying that Trump's former lawyer, was cooperating, wasn't cooperating. It was interesting to see how the fallout and the shakeout was going to end in terms of a three-year sentence. He is going to start serving that sentence in March of 2019. And it's interesting because between now and then, you know, it's really not a lot of time. So, you know, anyone in Trump's inner circle could be shaking like a leaf because, you know, his sentence obviously could still get reduced due to the more that he sings. And it's not so much information that he needs to corroborate. He needs to produce more and new unfounded information. So that's what they're looking at. You know, the whole thing is, I'm not a Trump fan, but the reality is I don't want to spend the remaining, you know, year and change on trying to get him impeached. The reality is a lot of this can be put on hold, and the trial could be after his presidency. They can actually start the proceedings now so the statute of limitations don't expire, which is important. But if we can't get anything done with a Congress that's Democratic because of all this, then it's, you know, shame on us. We need to do what we need to do. If laws were broken, certainly prosecute and pursue. But I don't want this to become more ridiculous and more time-wasting debacle than it already is. I mean, yes, it's coming to prove and coming to fruition that laws were broken. Practices were turned around and looked the other way in terms of campaign practices, etc. And I'm all for that. But if we keep going for something that's not really going to pan out, and I understand you have to do diligence and keep going through the processes because I think one thing may impact another, which may open another door, which may open the whole can of worms. So, but I hope it does. If not, I just don't want us to spin our wheels because there's a lot to get done. And I just one final thing is I can't believe that whole meeting, the conversation that took place in the White House. I mean, that was an SNL skit live on national TV. Unbelievable. Wow. So what do the holidays entail for you? Well, I'm going to be heading up to Boston. My sister lives up there. And the family is all going to be heading up there from all parts of the country, which is kind of neat. We descend upon Boston and stay there for a couple of days. So hopefully for you, you're traveling either not too far or somewhere you want to go. And I know that everywhere I've been reading, it's like how to deal with stress, how to cope, how to maintain your weight, how to. It's amazing. It's like you're an adult and you just woke up and you don't know what to do. I know it's like printer perish for the industry, of course, and for the media in general. But it's always fascinating to find out the survival guides that always come out this time of year. I find that kind of hilarious because it's like, well, you know, it is your family. And yes, they can be stressing, stressors, sources of stress. But you know what? You can get through it. It's a family. I mean, what good is a family if you can't be with them? And yes, we all have different opinions and we're adults. Well, some of us are adults. See, I started in already. but it's a good time. It's a good time. I like it. But, you know, the whole thing about, you know, what you're going to do, how you're going to maintain, even just the dietary aspects are interesting. You know, just eat in moderation. If you have too many sugar cookies in the one meal, then back it down the next meal. See, that's as easy as that. Do you have to wait for a new year to start a exercise routine, a healthier habit, yoga, cutting down on the caffeine, trying to find a new job? No, absolutely not. What's wrong with today? What's wrong with tomorrow? If 2019 is something you're shooting for, go for it. That's great. It's not far off. But you never need a new calendar year to start something new and to succeed or to fail, because there's nothing wrong with failing. To start a new career, you're going to meet my guest in a few minutes, Scott Fried from the Mankind Project. He's been a motivational speaker for over 25 years. I take my hat off to him because I've only been doing it for a handful of years. So he's got some sage advice. And as an entrepreneur, I mean, there's nothing easy about being an entrepreneur, being a speaker. And not only that, but obviously you're a marketer, you're a salesperson, you're a light specialist, audio specialist. Next thing you know, you're expert traveler. I mean, there's all these different things you have to excel in. But never, ever let something like that stand in your way to become the person or professional you want to be, because it's not going to become easier. And the older you get, the less time you have. So you want to get into this groove now. Start investigating. Start investigating the people in this industry, making contacts on LinkedIn, networking with your friends. Who do you know? Who can you find out? And who can you relate to and link up in industries that you want to do? So whatever it is in 2019, and we'll talk about this at a later date, but just got me going in terms of on the way over to the radio station this morning about 2019, and I was reading this big billboard about what's 2019 have in store for you in the middle of Times Square, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's going to have some good things. I think 2019 is going to be a very, very promising year. No wall is going to be built. Oh, I digressed. You know, it's a really nice story. Actually, when I was in Times Square this morning, I was thinking about that English couple. This story is about 10 days old, so forgive me for rehashing old news, but it's a good story. It's a good story that probably didn't get a lot of media coverage. Just a very small niche newspaper I saw had it, that an English couple got engaged in Central Park, and it was a very nice event, etc. And she said yes. And they were in Times Square, I believe, later that day, and I believe the sides of the ring was just a bit too loose, and off it went and down into Subway Grate, which is kind of like a manhole. So they were obviously very flustered, very concerned, very upset. So there's actually a picture from security footage in Times Square of the couple leaning into the Subway Grate looking and seeking. So an officer, of course, comes by, what can I do for you? And they told him the story, and they look, and they couldn't see it. And so this officer took the bull by the horns, which is pretty cool. And after the people left, I guess, continued to look for it and or gained access to the subway. Retrieved the ring. Yay! And then realized, oh, I don't know their names, or I don't have any contact information for this lovely couple that are deprived of this very pricey and, more importantly, special ring. So they did what anyone would do in this era. They did it on social media. They posted it. And within a couple of days, the word spread all the way to England, and the couple were notified, and they actually got the ring back. And at that time, actually, in that short period of time, the gentleman actually purchased his fiance a new ring. So they have a special ring with a New York City vibe, and more than a vibe, probably a little bit of an odor as a special remembrance of New York City. And I thought that's kind of a cool story, feel-good story about, you know, what could take place in the Big Apple, especially when people come over here from England and something of that caliber happens. I thought that was really kind of special. And lastly, I was talking to my guest a few minutes ago about how we all have impact on people's lives. And each one of us does. It can be positive. It can be negative. It could be indifferent. And I'm fortunate enough to have, again, I don't say I'm not a doctor in the furthest stretch of my imagination, or no initials after my name, but I say when I give talks, I'm an expert in me. And I want everyone to become an expert in yourself, because that's who you need to know first and foremost. And it's actually a great segue in a few minutes to lead into the Mankind Project, because a lot of men are afraid to actually feel and to emote and allow themselves to be alone with their thoughts. Sure, some thoughts are easier than others, and some thoughts can be daunting, like retirement age and having enough money for my kids in college. Like, I can put myself into cold sweat. But if I think about my own, like, personal journey or things I need to work on, shortcomings or successes, you know, I feel good. I don't get jolted out of bed. I'm happy where I am and where my trajectory possibly is going to have me land, or where I will land on my own doing, I should say. But anyway, I have a few people who are going through, friends and family of my in my circle, through some difficult times. And I've been fortunate and for them to realize that they have open communication with me to feel comfortable enough to reach out to me. There's a situation where someone's in college and they're going through depression and major anxiety for the first time. So I'm trying to get this person through this ordeal so they can finish exams and not totally feel like the world is hinging on the result and outcome of these exams. More importantly, I'm putting the emphasis on trying to focus on where you're at, how you can get through it, and don't worry about the outcome right now. It's a college class, 3 credits, 6 credits, or 9 credits. It's not the end of your life. You can deal with a C or D, or even if you fail out, your health and state of mind is much more important. So I'm trying to talk to this person, getting them through this and getting them home so they can obviously see a psychiatrist and get the wheels turning so they can get some mental health, some professional assistance. Another friend of mine is unfortunately dealing with a situation where the end of the marriage has come all too soon after 5 years. And this is the gentleman who is completely dedicated and in love, still in love with his soon-to-be ex-wife, and he's completely crushed in every sense of the word, crushed. And got served with divorce papers yesterday, and things are not good. So I'm trying to say, well, the silver lining in this, you got served with papers yesterday, is that you, in the back of your mind, have kept thinking that she may come back, and there may be a way for us to talk their way out of this or through this, even though she has strayed from the marriage, so to speak. So this made it crystal clear, black and white, that there is no future for this marriage. And that's sad for any relationship to end. But before there can be a new beginning, there's got to be an end. So I said, I know this hurts, but you got to realize that this is ground zero for you. This is as worse as it's going to get right now. And thankfully, he listened to me and went to therapy for the first time yesterday, actually before he got served. And I said, this is actually even good for you. Not only is it good for you emotionally and for your future, but I said, on an offshoot, this is actually even good for you because of going to court. You can say how emotionally distraught you are. And that's the truth. And so it's great that he's open. He's like, the therapist said to me, this is what he's telling me. The therapist said to him yesterday, well, what am I doing here? And he said, I'm not sure. And I think he probably said, well, my friend Mark said I should go. But I said to him, Steve, this is why you want to go there. You want to be happy. You deserve to be happy. There's no one in this world nicer and giving than you, and you deserve to be happy, not to have your heart trampled on. That's what you need to do. And you want answers. You want to know why she doesn't love you, all these different things. You're not going to find these answers out from her. And whatever she tells you most likely is not true. So that's why therapy is going to be so therapeutic and beneficial for you, because you can come up with your own answers of why and what happened, or maybe what didn't happen. And that's more important. And lastly, I have another friend who I kind of met through a talk I gave, and he's going through a tough time, and he's got the same name as mine, unfortunately, Mark. Parents are very creative as well, and he's hanging in there, and I'm happy to be there to support him, because anybody in our circles, whether it's going through depression, a hard time at work, they don't look good in that outfit that day, whatever the case may be. We're friends, and friends for a reason. And that leads me to believe that there's organizations out there that, such as the Mankind Project, that exists for people that don't know each other, especially men, to come together and find a common cause or a non-common denominator that brings them together. The Mankind Project is in over 22 countries and has over 9,000 men's group. Their vision is a safe world where all men are brothers in a relationship with one another, a world where conflicts are resolved peacefully, where torture, genocide, domestic violence, and senseless war are only entries in history books, where men are fully accountable and take responsibility for their decisions. I'm going to repeat that line because I love this line. Where men are fully accountable and take responsibility for their decisions. And I'm not reading that again because it has the word man in there, because all adults should be this way. And finally, where men stand tall and proud to be men, secure in their role and deeply committed to nurturing one another, their families, their communities, and their planet. From the Mankind Project, welcome, Scott Fried. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you. Let's get you up close here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Man, what a great piece in the New York Times last week, and a nice quote from you, and it's a great way to have an entree and a nice platter served to all mankind via the New York Times, so the people who don't know about it can learn first and foremost about this great experience that was started over 3 decades ago.
Yeah, I love that expression, a platter to all mankind. That's an interesting. Yeah, 33 years ago. Yeah, it's been. By three guys. Three guys, Rich Tosi, Bill Kauth, and Ron Herring. One was a professor, one was an ex-Marine and engineer, and the other one was I forget, but they came together and they put together what originally was a weekend, and it's now become a whole movement. But it's sort of an outgrowth of the feminist movement in the late 70s and early 80s, and it draws on a whole bunch of different
theories,
influences.
Well, mostly Socrates. Influences.
Well, more so Robert Bly and his books on men's work, and a lot of Joseph Campbell and his stories of initiation and the hero's journey, and then in particular the three men who started the weekend at the time went to some women's seminars, and they put together this men's seminar from that time. And there's a lot of work for a lot of the theories of Carl Jung, Jungian psychology, and we also borrow, or we should say, are influenced by Native American cultural norms as well. So we put all that together.
Yeah, that's a wide gamut.
But mankind is a wide gamut.
Now, what were the three individuals missing as a whole? What do you think their need to have informed back 30 years ago? That's a big change of times and social roles.
Has it?
Yeah.
But has it changed that much? Because I want to pick up on something that I heard you say about, for instance, your friend who you suggested go to therapy. Back then, as it is today, I think it's the same. So one of the things I heard you say was that his wife might not make any sense, or she might be lying or not telling the truth, but you need to hear what the therapist says. And what we think in Mankind Project then as now is, wait a minute, maybe my partner is telling me the truth. Maybe my wife, my husband, my partner is telling me something that I need to hear. Mm. But in MKP, Mankind Project, what they did then and what we do now, right, is we learn how to tell the truth without shaming other people so that we can hear our truth, not from a place of woundedness, but from a place of learning how to grow and become the best man we can be.
Exactly. And I think we all know people. It's a good point, Scott. I think we all know people in our lives that can handle the truth, and there's other people we have to walk and handle with kid gloves, right? And those are the people that sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, not giving them the truth as I would so much maybe you or someone else so I know can handle it dead on.
Yeah, so my responsibility is to take care of my inner life, the emotional cathartic self-examination of my inner domain. But in MKP, I do it with other men. Men mentoring other men, helping facilitating other men through their dragons, slaying their dragons, their internal demons, so that we can make the world a safer place for other men and for women. It's important that we say this. The Mankind Project has the word man in it, but it's also making it a safer world for women, especially in this Me Too movement, so that it's a safer world for everybody.
In general, in the concentric circles of everyone's world. So let's actually get down to the actual meeting. If I go into a meeting tomorrow, what would I expect? And would I go in there with a expectation for myself and my expectation of what other people are going to expect of me?
All we expect of you is that you bring your shadow and your gold. This is what we say in every meeting. And by the way, you are welcome and any man is welcome to some of the meetings are closed. My meeting is open. It's right here in Manhattan. So any man is welcome. And what we say, all we ask of you is to bring your shadows and your gold. Shadow, that's the Jungian psychological perspective I brought in a moment ago. The part of you that you don't want to even notice in yourself.
The dark side.
The dark side. The stuff you bury and repress and maybe even project onto your partners because you want to look at it
and
in yourself.
And may not be aware of as well.
And certainly are not aware of it yourself. And then your gold. The thing in you that makes the world a better place. This is a really important sentence. I want every one of your listeners to remember. One man in MKP once said, when I go to work in the morning, I tell my son and my daughter, I'm going off to add beauty to the world. Because real men add beauty to the world. Now, think about that as a goal for 2019. What I want in 2019, I want to add or continue to add beauty to this world. All we ask, if you come to, when you come to one of our meetings, is to bring your shadows and your gold. We will love everything you bring. Permission to be exactly who you are. So let's go back to something you said earlier about, say, the family gathering, and there's the crazy uncle who has different opinions of yours, or cultural norms, or perspectives about religion and sexuality that just different from yours. What we would say in MKP is, I give you permission to be you. And
absolutely,
I ask you to give me permission to be me. Simple, two simple words. Let's be amenable to each other's perspectives. And understand that underneath that are two men who long to connect with each other. Mm. So let's go even further back. Eighth grade, seventh grade, you got the class bully. What's he or she really doing? Simply trying to connect. In a very primitive way.
Sure.
There's many reasons
yeah.
people bully. Power, purpose, pattern.
Struggle.
But the one thing it has to do with in everybody is that it's a way to connect in a very primitive way. You get to be a grown man. There are more elegant ways, graceful ways to connect with other people, other men. And that is what we do in MKP. It's a way to connect with each other.
Hmm. So tell me about the actual structure. You're a facilitator, and you've been doing this for 8 years?
Yes.
So tell me about how a meeting would start, and if I was telling my story, would I be introduced, and would I be welcome to speak freely, and are there comments made? Is that welcome? Tell me about the protocol, please.
Yeah, so it's our meeting is 3 hours. And
wow.
Yeah, some meetings are two and a half hours, but ours is 3 hours. It flies by.
That's no therapist meeting.
Well, it's not, and it's not therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's make this clear. It is not therapy.
Very clear.
It is we appeal to the laws of or the rules of psychodrama, playback theater perhaps, but it is not therapy, and we don't pretend to act as therapists. We are, or counselors. We are men mentoring other men. So here's what
and that's
happen.
Very clearly stated to yeah. anyone who attends.
Right, men mentoring other men, giving you permission to be who you are, and my only goal is to love you. That's it. So that maybe you might find something inside of yourself that is lovable, because I already see it. And maybe you see it in me, so I'll see it in myself. And that's how we change the world. So here's how we do it. The first maybe 45 minutes to an hour would be a check-in about our feelings without crosstalk, without anybody interrupting, as if I keep interrupting you. But in the meeting, it wouldn't be that way. One man would speak for a time limit and say what's on his heart and check in emotionally and physically, sometimes spiritually, perhaps intellectually. But it's not about thought. It's about feeling. Where in my body is this emotion about the experience with my ex-wife who's served me papers? Not how does that make me think, but what's the feeling attached to that? What's the where in my body am I feeling that? And being able to be witnessed by other men who look me in the eye and perhaps at the end of that check-in, just nod, acknowledge that I was heard.
That's good that you said that, because I'm thinking there's so many people that could be in touch with their feelings or not, but still not be able to articulate what you just said.
Right. And in terms of being able to articulate your feelings, this is something I want you to remember. There's something known as the unarguable truth. It can never be contested. And the part in us that is unarguable and uncontestable is our feelings. If I say to you, I feel sad, you can't say to me, no, you don't. If I say to you, I am so overjoyed about the success of this article, you can't say to me, you shouldn't be, because my feelings are mine.
They're real.
Right. And so in terms of articulating them, if anyone, male or female, understands and really feels safe in knowing that they have permission to have their feelings without them being contested or argued, then the feelings come to the surface. I love this quote. Anyone will give up their secrets if you love them enough, radically, unconditionally, empathically. Really accept them. The secrets come to the surface. They will tell you their feelings. Mm.
May take some time to build that comfort and sense of connection, but I agree.
It may take some time, and it may be momentary.
So the average guy who comes to a group, whether it's here in Brooklyn, Midwest, or West Coast, or in Beijing.
I don't know. We have Beijing. We have Australia.
Okay,
New Zealand,
Australia. Let's
Israel,
go to Australia.
Mexico.
I love their accents. Are they someone who typically feels like their life is missing something?
Everybody feels or hears the call. This is what Joseph Campbell talks about on The Hero's Journey. And in some other circles, it's called the thing that brings you to your knees. It's the moment in your life when you realize this, as I've set it up, it's not working out so well. And in some people's lives, like in mine, you get down on your knees, you get your act together, and then you're back on your knees again because life will do that to you. I love this quote from one of our brothers, whose name is Martin Lassoff. He said just recently, life breaks everybody. Some people are stronger in the broken places. MKP is an opportunity to become stronger in the broken places. So what brings a man to a circle? A broken heart, a problem with their finances, a sense of emptiness, a longing to come out of the closet, being confused about their sexual expression, gender expression, confused about their beliefs into who they are, not liking who they see in the mirror when they look at themselves. Life crisis, midlife crisis, early life. We've got men in their early 20s. That's a quarter life crisis. We've got men in their 70s.
Millennial epidemic. And then you have men up to their 70s.
Exactly. And 80s. We like to say in MKP, those are the elders, those who have been around have taken so many more breaths than the others. So they have.
Sure. Is there an agenda or is it more of an open forum per meeting?
So after the check-in, which is the emotional lover round, with a part where we check in with our vulnerabilities, there we will get into a circle around about accountability. I will only feel safe with you if I know that you are taking care of your commitments, agreements. And if you don't do what you say you would do, if you're out of integrity, if you're not accountable to me or the words that you've given, then I can't feel safe with you to tell you my deepest, darkest truths. So the next round would be a chance to check in with the men in the circle, talk about where are we out of integrity here in the circle? And therefore, where are we out of integrity in our lives? Because
give me an example about that, Scott.
So if I say to you, Mark, I'm going to come to your radio show at 10:45 so we can go live at 11 o'clock this morning. And I show up at 11:20. I am out of integrity. What's the impact of my not being here on time, keeping my word on you and your listeners? So there's intention. My intention was to be here, to do a good thing and to sound really articulate. But my impact by not getting here on time, if I was late, is what matters. So integrity is a combination of intention plus impact. So we as men in the Mankind Project want to take a look at how our intention equals our impact. And if it doesn't, what was the impact on you and your listeners or other people in our lives? So coming late or not paying our bills or cheating on our partners or lying or breaking our diet and telling ourselves that we're not doing it, it's okay. Whatever the issue or the words, the promise that we said we would keep, if we fall out of integrity, we help each other with supporting each other without shame, without judging, but simply offering support. How can I help you get back into integrity so that you can be the man you want to be? And I could sit here with you knowing that you're going to tell me the truth and I'm going to tell you the truth and there's no shame.
Do the weekend programs, and we'll get into the programs and the different offshoots of MKP, is that where someone should start the Warrior program and go to the weekly meeting, or is it reversed?
There's a whole bunch of ways in. There are many different ways down the mountain, as they say, right? So one way is, as I did, I just went right to the weekend, and it was...
Describe that, please.
Well, the weekend itself?
Yes.
It's 3 days, Friday night to Sunday afternoon. So what is that? It's about 70 hours or so of experiential, cathartic, emotional fun and exploration with other men, about 20, 25, something around that number, taking a look at the issues in your life. When you hear the call and you're in the company of others who are witnessing you doing your work. So one way in is through the weekend. Others go through an I group, an integration group, a weekly evening group like I have on
That's
Monday
what you
nights.
Have, correct.
And what we're talking about, where you check in with your feelings and you're accountable and you do some other emotional deep work to deepen your connection to yourself and others. There are other workshops that we give. One is called The Bridge. We do it 4 times a year where we invite people to come and just check out a full day or a half a day type of experience of what the weekend would be like. And then there's the GBTQ aspect of this, because a lot of the men in the project and the program are straight, heterosexual, but we have a lot of gay bisexual transgender men as well. So once a month here in Manhattan, I, with a friend, facilitate a monthly GBTQ open circle for any man to come and talk about their feelings, to be introduced to Mankind Project. So there are many different ways in to be able to be welcomed into the community.
Do the majority of attendees at the Weekend Warrior program, as a initial introduction, become hooked?
Let's say, instead of saying hooked, it's just woke. How about that?
Woke.
Let's use that word. Awakened to a truth inside themselves where they realize, I can become the man I want to be. And that's the impact that it's had on our lives. And I'll speak for myself. I think I just went exactly where I was going.
You're
not leading to your next question.
You can see the bubble over my head.
So I had this great life, and that, you know, I love to say, that, you know, with that expression, it gets better and then it gets worse, and then it gets better and then it gets worse, and that's life, right? So it got better and then it got worse, and then all of a sudden it got better, and for me it got worse. And so I got infected with HIV when I was 24. I figured out how to live with that, and then things got worse again. I got better, I watched my friends die, and then I got my health together, and then my mom died, my father died, and I was dealing with a lot of grief. So it got worse again. So 8-9 years ago, I reached out to the Mankind Project after having been in 12-step meetings, after having been in HIV support groups, after having been in couples counseling and individual therapy. What else can I do? Because I'm on my knees again, and I'm grieving.
You're so desperate.
I won't even say that I was desperate. I was, and some people are. I'll just say that I was. My pain was accessible. I could feel it. It was palpable, and I needed something. I needed to feel alive again, and so I reached out to the Mankind Project. I found it online, mkp.org, mankindproject.org, and so for me that was the call. I needed to work through my grief. What I got, the impact, is connection. Like we talked about before, the eighth grade class bully trying to connect with somebody in a primitive way, the grown man that I am now connecting in a more authentic, elegant way with other men. It's about connection, so that I know in their presence, they see that I can be the man I want to be, and I give them the same.
How do you think that differed for you versus all the therapy and all the different practices you had been part of up until that point in your life when you're on your knees, that was the thing that really was going to catapult you into the next healthy stratosphere versus going your traditional route with a therapist, et cetera?
I still go to therapy every week.
Great.
I still go to my 12-step Al-Anon support group every few weeks. I still go to an HIV support group every few weeks.
So this is part of your maintenance program.
Exactly. It's not taking the place
your vitamins.
Of. Right, yes. Right. This is in addition to. And the reason this works for me, to sit in a circle with other men and watch other men weep, to hear other men wail, to feel other men's grief or rage or terror or true emotion, to be in the presence of that much authenticity is amazing. And to be able to, they do my work. We say in MKP, you've just done my work. I've watched you for the past 10 minutes go through that experience, and it was my work.
I think that's fascinating because I'm trying to think of the situations I've been in personally, and even you can equate it to movies where when you witness something that stirs you, that awakens part of you, and whether you've been down that path before or not, it makes you want to kind of be part of that. And maybe whether it's vocally saying something that you've never shared with someone, crying, or maybe just feeling something without even opening your mouth that you've never felt before.
So we would say in the Mankind Project that we put all the pronouns on ourselves. And so instead of saying, and forgive me to correct you on live air, I'm just making this, this is just an example.
There's no
it's a
right
teachable
or wrong.
Moment, right? So it's a teachable moment. We would say that instead of saying it makes you feel, it makes me feel. So when I see a movie, it makes me feel. I'm accountable. I'm responsible for my feelings in this world, right? So it makes me feel the desire, the need to connect or express those feelings in front of other people so that I can be witnessed and received, held, sometimes emotionally, sometimes physically, And that's what you see on the cover of the New York Times article, the Sunday Styles section this past Sunday. It's a picture of one man lying on the laps of other men, some straight, some gay, some old, some young, some whatever the multicultural is. We're all touching, holding physically and emotionally, energetically, the grief of one other man, the story, the history of another man, so that we can help him in his process of healing. We're not there to heal him. We're there to inspire him to heal himself. Did you get that? That's the difference.
The difference is understandable, clear. I want to back up to that circle of that person who's giving and talking and sharing. And this is maybe a possible scenario where someone can contribute. I want to make sure I understand this, Scott, in the Mankind Project. If I'm sharing that I'm worried about my future because of instability, whatever the case may be. Now, is it anyone's job in a circle to contribute to that, add to that, give insight?
So now you've got to you got us to the next round. We've checked in. We made it a safe container, a safe vessel to hold this process of transformation.
So we all know what our baggage is at that moment.
For that moment.
For that moment.
What happened on the subway coming to this room, right? And then we get the next round, which is accountability, integrity. Have I kept my agreements with you? Because I need to trust you so that I can do this next round, which is here's what I'm holding. Here's what I'm sitting on. Here's what I need to work on this night, this week. And so I would ask somebody in the circle to facilitate me. Remember I said men mentoring men. We're not counselors. We're not therapists. We facilitate other people's processes. We assist. And there's a roadmap that we could use. It works every time. So one man would turn around, look around the circle, and say, I would like you to help me through this process tonight. To use your example, my wife has served me the papers. It's final. Up until the moment I saw the papers in my hand, this would be that man's work that night, I thought there was a chance for us to get back together. But once I touched the papers, I realized it's over. So my work tonight is to come to an understanding of what it means to what it feels like just to understand the emotions. So I want you to be able to help facilitate me, and maybe you. So Richie, you're going to facilitate, and Ian, you're going to support him. And here's my work. You guys think about how you can help me get through this. 20 minutes. You've got 20 minutes to work this out. So we use principles of psychodrama or playback theater to give the man an opportunity to get on his feet, to not just sit in his chair in talk therapy, that's not what this is, to get on his feet in the center of the circle, literally, and work through energetically what the feelings are that he brings, that has come up. Psychodrama, playback theater. So maybe one man might say, so who in this circle is holding the energy of your wife? So it's just the energy. So he'd look around and pick a man, and that man would play the energy of his wife. Who in this circle is playing the energy of the person who served the papers? Because you're pissed at that guy first and foremost.
Absolutely.
Let's get that part out. And who in this circle is holding the energy of the man you want to be? After this whole episode in your life is over and you've become the man you really can be, who do you think can hold that energy? Let's get all the players in motion so that you can take a look at your life and see how you've set it up and how you can make the changes to be the man you want to be.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot. It's got to be a little bit daunting for someone who – You're very seasoned, you're a speaker, you're an author, you're a motivational stage presence, everything, facilitator, and so much more. What about the person who's just kind of meek and walks in the door? How are they welcomed, and how long does it take them to feel, and this is an ambiguous question, where they can contribute and or feel like, you know, this is somewhere that I can be, even though I don't have all these skills to say I can do this or I want to do that, etc.
It's important that we never underestimate the value of silence. A man can sit for 3 hours and get...
And I'm sure they have.
And they have, yeah. And they do, and they will, and get more than they thought they were going to get. I remember one meeting where a man spoke at the end and said, I haven't said a word for 2.5 hours, and I feel like I've been talking the entire time.
That's great. That speaks volumes.
Right. But it's also important to recognize that there really is no meekness. If a man walks through the door, it's the threshold. It's the hero's journey. You cross that threshold, you're on your hero's journey. To sit in a chair in a circle of other men who are going to talk about their feelings and maybe act them out, that requires a lot more than meekness. And so I, as a facilitator, as a man in that circle, I wouldn't see meekness in that man. I would see power. And if I see power and beauty in that man, there's chance that he will see power and beauty. I don't see meekness. I see his enoughness, his potential. And it brings it to the surface.
Scott Fried is from the Mankind Project, a project that was founded 30 years ago about men coming together and being who they want to be, inventing about maybe what's not going right in their life. And possibly, and I saw this, we're going to actually go to the video right now. And this is actually from your communications manager. His name again is?
Boyson Hodgson.
Boyson, who does a nice job setting this up. And we're going to come back after this, and I have a question after this rolls.
Men are socialized to norms of objectification, disconnection, repression of emotion, dominance, and violence. The way we construct masculinity damages every aspect of our society. The good news is that manhood, gender, is largely taught, not innate. We serve over 10,000 men every week in a network of free, confidential peer support groups. In 10 regions around the globe, close to 60,000 men have taken our flagship program, a highly experiential re-initiation into healthy manhood. We support and empower men like Ashanti Branch.
When I did my New Warrior Training Weekend, I had already been running the Ever Forward Club for about 5 years. But what I learned in that weekend was that there were things that were tripping me up that I didn't even know where they were coming from. I realized that I had a lot more areas to grow. And that work of growing and becoming more deeply connected to my history and who I was as a man helped me to better support the young men that I was working with. If we can give men tools where they learn about a healthy form of masculinity, not dominating over others, but collaborating and building communities with others, I think we can create a society that is very different than what it looks right now. I think that can happen.
Nice piece. How many men come in the door that are confused about the role of a man and feel like they're not man enough?
I think mostly what I discover,
whatever that means, by the way.
Right, whatever that means, is that that's a loaded sentence. I think that what most men come in with are their shadows. And if that helps or disturbs the definition or interferes with the definition of manhood, we try to explore their shadows. What I've come to understand in the 8 years and the hundreds of meetings that I've been to is that every man, every human, but especially the men in the circles, bring in their shadows. And then usually they're the ones we all have in common, but we don't know that. So these are the shadows we have in common. I'm not equal to other men. The belief we hold about ourselves that we're afraid is true. Let me say that again. It's a big sentence. It's not the truth about us. It's the belief we hold, the self-limiting belief, the core impressions that we're afraid might be true. I'm not equal to other men. I'm not enough. If you knew who I really was, you would not love me because I'm unlovable. Negative, limiting core impressions, belief systems that were
ingrained at a very young age.
Ingrained, as one man says, because one day someone physically or metaphorically put a thumbprint on your soul, on your psyche, and said, "You're bad. You're a bad boy. You don't belong. You're not welcome at this table. You're not welcome in this club. And you'll never be enough." When you're 5 and 6 and 7, we believe that we are. But then we get a little bit older, and then society's world, religion, other people, bullies in school touch us.
Bullies at work.
Way. Exactly. And then we stop believing that we really do belong. We start taking on these limiting self beliefs that I'm no one's equal and I'm not enough. And then from that, we become men who perhaps are not accountable.
Or live up to that non-fulfilling prophecy.
Sorry?
Or live up to that non-fulfilling prophecy.
So we live up to what we think the world expects
us
to be. So I want to go back to what
it's
I said earlier. So it's a really important sentence. Real men add beauty to the world. Real men tell the truth about their feelings. Real men are ever in the process of feeling their pain and feeling their joy and continuing to heal. Real men forgive and ask for forgiveness. Real men look into other men's eyes a second longer. Real men tell the truth and hear the truth without shame.
And that's something that's special at Mankind, or is that expected to have the eye contact? Is that, I read that, that's something that is expected, correct?
There's no expectations. There's no expectations. I will look in your eyes. If you look away, you have permission to look away. Remember, permission to be exactly who you are.
Sure.
So I think you're reading the article, the section about every man, which is a different men's group, and it's a wonderful men's group, where perhaps their one of their tractates is to look into people's eyes. We don't make you do that, but when you do,
when the timing's right.
Right. Yeah. When you are able to look in someone's eyes, it's life-changing. So here's something that I say to all the parents that I teach of teenagers, and it's true for MKP as well. Instead of saying to your child or someone else, put your phone away, it's dinner, we could say, put your phone away so I can look into your face, so I could see how beautiful you are. Let me see you. In the Mankind Project, we see each other and we let ourselves be seen. We don't hide.
If there a woman were to walk into the room and sit there and not be noticed, fly on the wall, would she be taken aback?
There are some circles in this country where there are chapters of MKP where women are part of some circles. When we had the reporter for the article come to write the article about our support group, our meeting, it's a woman. She was a part of the group. We asked her to be a guest like any other guest, to participate, to check in with her feelings, to talk about what her work would be that night, and to check out with her feelings as well. So they'd be totally welcome.
So I think it would be behoove listeners to understand that this is not by any means an organization that is against women.
So this is an important point, and I want to make this, and I'm glad you brought this up. As a man, have privilege. And some in the Mankind Project, one of my friends, Vincenzo, puts it this way. He says, I don't just have privilege. I've got unearned trust, he says, because I'm a man who he is tall and blue-haired, blue-eyed and blonde. So he gets trust of other people. We as men have privilege. I'm a short man. I'm a Jewish man. I'm a gay HIV-positive man. So on the privilege poll, I'm on the low end. But I still have privilege, and it's important for—
Is that your perception now?
That's my perception. But it's thank you for pointing that out. It's important for me, however, to also, and I recognize that and I accept that, it's important for me to recognize also that no matter how much privilege I think I don't have, I have, generally speaking, more privilege than many women in this world. It's really important for me as a man in the Mankind Project to consider
not just of our society.
Because of society, not just my place in a circle of men, but in the world as it relates to sexism. And so what I want us to understand is that when we work on our stuff as men, we are helping women as well. And I can't apologize for the mistakes and the errors that my gender has made towards women, but I certainly can take responsibility because I represent that gender.
Yes, I understand that, and I feel compassion towards that statement, and I feel the same way as well because, you know, when we read things on social media, you know, when they make a woman makes a broad statement about our gender, it's understandable.
It's in my DNA. Yeah, I'm a man.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't help but take it personally a little bit, especially when they do a monstrous act, which is not uncommon.
But here's the thing. It's not just that I didn't do that. It's someone who looks like me did that. Someone who's got the same type of physical testosterone-like characteristics.
Religious belief, etc.
So if I walk into a room of women, they don't know that I've been through the Mankind Project. All they know is I'm maybe capable of doing who knows what other men have done. So in that respect, because of the work that I'm doing in the Mankind Project, I will own that I am responsible for my gender.
Do you find that men typically that grow up with sisters are more in touch with their feelings and their shadows and gold?
I think that
to use your terms.
I don't know. I have a sister, and so I'm in touch with my shadows and my gold, perhaps because of my sister, but for many other reasons.
I find that to be a huge role in terms of because I know so many guys who have come from large families and are a little bit more less antiquated of modern thought, and guys who are raised with maybe no siblings or no sisters, etc., and have just only seen their father's perspective because it's a male dominant household, because that's the upper hand that they had. So I find that to believe and to be so integrated at such a very young age. So I find that someone for myself that is fortunate enough to have three sisters and a very liberal mother, even though I had a conservative father, was exposed to so much cultural rich, even just emotional aspects in my family that I was fortunate.
So you are fortunate, and maybe that's the case for you and many others. But I think there are...
Oh, there's many more that aren't.
Well, think about the family of just men and say two gay fathers raising only sons, for instance, or just a lot of men and boys in that family and a mother. If that father would show his sons what it looks like to cry, if that father would show his sons how it sounds to express feelings, if the father would look into his son's eyes and say, I accept you exactly as you are, I don't know that it would be any different than growing up in a different household with more women.
No, it wouldn't. But right. It just doesn't happen that way with straight men.
Right, but I like to think that in the Mankind Project, we're not working with stereotype. We're working with individuals.
Well, you're working with breaking those stereotypes.
Right.
An overall umbrella. That's not – you don't have those listing on a wall saying here's what our mission statement is, X, Y, and Z.
But there's still – you can still have a young man growing up in a family of just women who goes to school and joins a fraternity or joins a group of basketball team. I remember once, so I don't play basketball, right? So I remember once in my life.
Really?
Really.
Guess
once
what? Neither do I, and I'm tall.
I was playing basketball with a bunch of teenagers, some students of mine, and I noticed that there was so much eloquent rage and testosterone yelling at each other, and I took it personally, right? And when the game was over, nobody was angry at each other. Everybody was just – it was a whole different world, right?
Yeah, because, very tribal.
Yeah, exactly. So it's possible that if you grow up with sisters, you could become a man who's more open and willing to hear the story, a woman's side of the story. It's possible if you grew up only with brothers and a loving, open-hearted father, the same is also the case.
Oh, it's all possible. I was in a stereotypical way. I think that has – proven to me again and time again that kind of works that way. So the advent of the Mankind Project is something that's we can't say modern because it's been around for 30 years, but I feel like it's going to gain more momentum and more traction, especially with millennials being much more open. There are no walls with millennials. Do you find that? Less walls? Lower walls? Or we shouldn't talk about walls? Not south of the border.
I don't know about walls and millennials, because I really do think that life wounds us, and
yes.
And I work with millennials on a regular basis, and everybody I've ever met is wounded by life in some way, and sometimes it's expressed,
apparent.
It's apparent. Other times it's internal, and they don't even know it themselves. Mm. But in terms of the advent of MKP, it's been around for centuries. Not MKP, but this idea has been around for centuries. It's based on an idea of initiation, right? What Joseph Campbell called the hero's journey, the sacred rite of initiation. You first have to go through a separation, and then you go into a descent, and then an ordeal, and you come home. Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. It's a hero's journey. And that's been around for centuries.
And Socrates, I mentioned that before. I mentioned a great quote, know thyself. And that's
the
Mankind journey is about, knowing thyself.
I would add, know thyself so that you can love thyself. Mm,
absolutely. Scott Fried, mankindproject.org.
Mankindproject.org.
What a pleasure. Easy on the caffeine. My name is Mark Farrell. A blast having the Mankind Project Scott Fried on. Thank you for everyone for arranging this interview. If you'd like me to speak at your school, college, or corporation, markfarrellmotivation.com, overcoming adversity, drugs and alcohol, mental health, anti-bullying, and more, markfarrellmotivation.com. Have a great day!